Now, did the military know that you had been abducted, and how did they know if they did?
Well, I have some ideas on that. I read Dan Sherman's book. I believe you've had him on Coast to Coast. Dan Sherman talked about being part of a intuitive communicator project, and he was communicating with ETs, and some of what he was monitoring was abductions. And he would get this scale of, 1 to 10 on different aspects of the abduction that was very disturbing to him, because he thought, gosh, these are human beings that are being abducted, and then, what's this rating that I'm giving mean? So he was actually part of a project where monitoring of abductees was going on while they were being abducted by ETs.
Jeez, what were you going to say, Melinda?
Oh, thank you. So sorry, I didn't want to interrupt necessarily, but I wanted to add, when I myself am familiar with at least 14 cases of this military involvement stuff, of which about 10 of those people I know and have interviewed, but there's about 4 other cases that I know of very well that I haven't interviewed extensively, but I'm familiar with, of which Dan Sherman is one. Here's someone who is an abductee, joins the military, gets taken into this process, as she said, to train and communicate with aliens. Ray, who I brought up earlier, was also used to communicate with aliens, and I'll let Niar get more into that. But in Dan's case, here's someone who had that military on military experience, and to the point where not only did he have alien abduction first, he had re-abduction, but then he got brought into this program and actually, put in a position, within a program to fulfill that role. I just wanted to inject that he was one of the cases I was familiar with.
Niara, tell us, what did the military expect from you? What did they want you to do?
Well, I was an auto-track radar operator. Auto-track is a surface-to-air missile radar, anti-aircraft artillery type of radar,
yep.
Because it tracks an aircraft with a very tight, narrow beam that's like a targeting. It paints a target on the aircraft to shoot down in theory.
Okay.
Out on the Nevada test site, we were training pilots to fly against radar. So that was my regular job. But what happened that I remembered under hypnosis with Bud Hopkins was that we were taken out in the middle of the night. I later found out in a subsequent hypnosis session that we were taken out at gunpoint from our motel rooms.
Gunpoint?
Yeah. And we were taken out there in the middle of the night on the radar, and we were told we were going to track some special aircraft. And we tried to track them, and they couldn't be tracked. I mean, they would just appear one place, we might get a bit of a lock, and then they would just be someplace else. There's no way a mechanical servo mechanism can turn that fast.
I wouldn't call them conventional aircraft, would you?
No. Well, they said special aircraft.
Yeah.
And so then after we were done with the test, we were told to stand out on the deck of the radar van, and we were on a crew of people where we'd been given fatigues to wear with no rank insignia and no name tags, no identifying marks of any kind. And we were forbidden in no uncertain terms to speak to each other beyond what was necessary to run the radar test.
Now, Melinda,
yes.
How often is this happening with other people in the military?
Well, like I said, at this point, I am aware of about 14 cases of people who had this happen while in the military.
But these are the 14 that have come forward, right?
Well yes. I mean, these are just ones... I met her, became aware of it. It's like, it's like how I met Niara. It was actually last year's International UFO Congress in Laughlin, Nevada.
Yeah.
And her and I were not speaking or anything. We were attending there. And the producer of that conference, Bob Brown, who I know quite well, Bob said, I heard of this case. You've got to meet her. I want to talk to her. Someone says she's here. And when I talk to her, I want you there present. Well, that was a great opportunity because Bob set it up. He met up with he was friends with someone that was friends with Niara anyways, and he set this up. And Bob Brown and I sat in private and had a chance to interview Niara pretty extensively right then. And so we interviewed Niara, and at that point Bob said, I've got to have both you guys come and talk about this at next year's Congress. So I met her at last year's Congress, and actually had heard of her case previously through someone else, but had never met her. In fact, had even somewhat forgotten the name. And I was so glad that that opportunity happened, and I learned of her case. And then, as a result, Niara and I are now speaking at this year's International Congress, the last week of Laughlin. And there's a link on my website to the Congress. I tell people, check it out. It's this incredible, get a little plug in here real quick, but it's this incredible week-long conference that is like old home week. You don't need to go all week. You can go for just a day, a couple days. You can break it down to make it very inexpensive. But I really recommend if people can go the whole week that they do, just because the sense of family and camaraderie. And then Niara and I are presenting. We're presenting together, but each of us are speaking for an hour. I will cover my research and my new developments in depth, and Niara will cover her story in depth. So I hope that people will at least go to the website, UFOCongress.com.
Oh, yeah, that's always a great event. I have not been to one in a while, but it is a very great event indeed. Niara, well, do you think you are giving up any kind of or breaking any security oath because of all of this?
I don't remember signing any security oath about these experiences, but I will tell you that if I did, the things that were done to me were atrocious, and no one should have to maintain a security oath under that kind of abuse.
No, and when you're saying the abuse, you're talking the abuse from the covert folks or from the ETs?
From the covert folks.
Okay. Do you remember anything at all about the ET experience?
Oh, yeah, I remember a lot about my ET experiences. I've had, quite a bit of memory come back from my sessions on that.
How about the craft?
Very, very strange.
Do you remember the craft?
We were on saucer-shaped craft. I remember more the inside than the outside. I don't really recall seeing the outside too much. Low-light conditions, kind of a sound that sounds similar to crystal balls in the background.
Yeah.
And the kind of a ringing sound. I remember that.
And the ETs, were they grays?
Yes.
Okay. They all seem to be grays when it has to do with abductees. Once in a while, we'll hear stories that human-looking ETs are standing by, but grays are always there, aren't they?
Not necessarily. Granted, there's a large percent of grays, and even with the grays, there's a couple of different descriptions and differences. Some of them are more tan, some of them are taller, look gaunt and old, some of them are shorter and squattier. So even there, there's quite a variety of that scene. But a lot of people have what are the reptilian experiences, certainly the what's considered Nordic-looking, human-looking, but not quite human, obviously hybrids. A lot of people see what appears to be a human and gray combination, or a human reptilian combination, or reptilian gray combination. A lot of people see insectoid types that,
like the praying mantis.
Well,
types,
yes,
right?
Like a praying mantis, and they can be a cross between a gray and that.
Would be weird to me if I saw.
Oh,
one
yeah,
of those.
I actually, not to get into detail, but one of my own abduction experiences involved. I was taken from a conference, and a couple people at the support group at this conference ended up coming out and realizing that something had happened two nights before that particular group, but that something had happened where a number of us had been taken together while attending that conference. But what some of the people remembered seeing, besides a kind of a variety of grays, are some insectoid types, and that's the only time in my own experience that I saw this insectoid type, but I'll never forget. It had antennas somewhat, kind of not real large, but these antennas that stuck up that looked like moth antenna, like a feather.
Yeah.
Moth antennas look like feathers, like that. And I was just transfixed on how strange that was, and I had not heard of that before at that time. Since then, I have heard of other people seeing those feather-like antennas. But regardless, there's a variety of types of aliens seen. Now, in these military experiences, some people are seeing aliens with the military, and granted, occasionally it's various types. Very rarely, though, it is predominantly the grays that are seen with the military.